Be leading us in the Bible reading today. Today's passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 58. So if you have your handheld devices or Bible, feel free to follow along, or the passage will be displayed on the monitor here. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Morning, church. Good to see you all. And let me encourage you to have your Bibles open. And as you're turning there, special welcome. If you're new to church, come here, especially on Easter Sunday. Great to have you. And we really love having you here. And we want to tell you what Christianity is all about. And that's what Easter is all about. It's all about Jesus. Good Friday, he died. But Easter Sunday, we talk about how he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead. Welcome. It's great to have you. And please open up your Bibles. Not sure if it's going to be up on the screen, probably not. But I'm going to pray as we get into this. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you that Jesus rose from the dead. And this is such important news for us, and it's so important. Father, just pray. I pray, Lord, that you would pour your spirit into all of us. We talk about your death and your resurrection all the time. But Lord, speak deeply into our hearts and convict our hearts afresh, Lord, of what the resurrection means for us. And so we pray that we would all be humble before you, open to understand, open to knowing you and believing in this great act of you, God, where you conquered both sin and death through your son, Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. I'll never forget that morning. I was 17 years old and I woke up to screams. My mother was screaming and I shot out of bed and I raced over to where she was. She was in my grandma's bedroom and tears were dripping off her face. And I looked over and I saw my grandmother lying in bed, not moving. And my mom said, "Grandma is dead. Grandma is dead," in Chinese. And I was shocked. Initially, I was just shocked. No, it can't be. Tell me it's not true. But my grandmother was dead. And how can this be changed? I thought, how can I go back? How can I have this moment? Maybe I can just wake up from this nightmare and relive this morning, a better morning. But I didn't wake up. And there was my grandmother, still dead. And then reality hit me. Grandmother was really dead. And she was irreversibly dead. I couldn't have that moment back. And I realized that morning that death is real and death is final. But today, on Easter Sunday, we are reminded that death is not final. For Jesus has risen from the dead. He is alive. And for those of us who believe in Jesus, we also will rise from death into eternal life. Friends, the resurrection is the crux of our faith, the crux of Christianity. And there is nothing more important in the Christian faith than the resurrection of Jesus. Our faith stands or falls on whether Jesus rose from the dead or not. And this is why earlier in this chapter that was just read to us in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then, you know, our faith is in vain. We are fools. We are the greatest fools in the world. And we are wasting our time coming to church if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But if he did rise from the dead, then this is the most important event, the most important truth of all of human history. Nothing else is more important than this event. And the world needs to hear that, yes, Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus is alive, and this changes everything for everyone. And so this morning, I want us to see that the resurrection gives us three things. This is what it should mean for us. The resurrection gives us hope, it gives us victory, and it gives us purpose. Now, before I get into these three things, I just want you to know that earlier in this chapter, there is just so much evidence that the resurrection really did happen. Don't just take my word for it, but read the earlier part of this chapter. I'm not going to have time to go into the details of what the early part of the chapter is all about. But the context is that the Apostle Paul wants to really convince us that Jesus really did rise from the dead. And what I want to say to you this morning, hopefully if you're not a Christian, it's going to convince you to go back and read it and look it up. And if you want to, I did preach a sermon on the early part of the chapter last year when we looked at the Apostles' Creed. Go to ChineseChristianChurch.org.au, look up my name in the sort of the sermon list and find that sermon, and I speak about it there. Or if you want even better, come and talk to me after the service. I'd love to read the rest of the chapter with you and talk to you about it. But I'm going to focus on the last bit of chapter 15 this morning, and it offers us three things: hope, victory, and purpose. And that's what I want you to walk away with today. So the first thing that the resurrection should mean for us is hope. The resurrection gives us great hope. Have a look at verse 52 in your Bibles. For the trumpet will sound. What is that trumpet? I don't know exactly what that trumpet is. It's like an alarm when I read it. One moment we're asleep, we're dead, but it's just going to be like we're asleep. And the trumpet will sound and we'll wake up from this trumpet alarm in an instant. And then what happens next? Have a look. And the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. So the resurrection of Jesus gives us hope for a better future, a perfect future, that we will be changed. We will be transformed, that we will be raised from the dead. This perishable, mortal, dying, decaying body is going to be changed. It's going to be changed. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead. He is sitting on the throne of heaven right now, and he will return to judge both the living and the dead. And we who have put our trust in Jesus know that when we die, after we die, we also, like Jesus, will be raised to new life, eternal life, transformed. And we'll have new bodies, immortal, imperishable bodies, bodies that don't get sick and grow old and decay. Earlier in our verse 23, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. First fruits is like an agricultural like metaphor that's used to describe what happens when a farmer looks at his crop and he sees a tree and he sees the first fruit, blooming or whatever it is. And the first fruits, it's kind of like, yes, I can see now what the rest of the crop is going to look like. It's going to look good. It's going to look great, or maybe not so good this year. The first fruits. And for us as Christians, we see Jesus as our first fruits, and we can look at Jesus's resurrection, and there we see our own future. That is our future. As Jesus has conquered death and risen, so that will be our future. That's the hope that we have as Christians, a sure and certain future in heaven with raised and new immortal bodies. This is the wonderful news of the Christian faith that everyone needs to hear about. And it reminds me of the most famous verse in the Bible, which is, of course, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him, what does it say? Will not perish, but have eternal life. The resurrection of Christ means that we will not perish, but we will be raised from the dead into imperishable bodies. This is what the resurrection of Christ gives us this morning: hope in the life to come. Secondly, I want us to know this morning that the resurrection gives us victory. Now, it's not a victory over other people. It's not something for us to gloat over other people about. No, that they are not our competition. Other people are not our competition. The victory you have is victory over death. Death is the competition. Death is the enemy. And the resurrection of Jesus tells us that we have the victory. We have won. Death wants to take us down. Death wants to take us out. But the resurrection tells us that it can't take us, that we have the victory. We have won because Jesus did rise from the dead. Death has been defeated. And we who are in Christ, we also have the victory. Have a look. Verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of a sting, we think of probably, most of us are probably thinking of a bee sting. And a bee sting is nothing really, right? Unless you're allergic to bees. these things. But I remember as a kid, I used to run a lot. And I remember this one moment. I was about my son's age right now, about 10 years old. And I was running that day, doing my daily run. And I remember feeling really strong that day, really fit. And I was just tearing it up the hills. And everything was just like, I was just unstoppable. I felt like crushing this today. I'm going so well. And I'm running and I looked up over there and I saw this little beehive and all these bees were like buzzing around. I thought, nah, that's nothing. That's not going to stop me. And I kept running. And all of a sudden, this bee was like buzzing around. It started flying. I thought, is it coming for me? And it just flew. And I went, oh, and it went bang. And it stung me right in the neck. And then in that instant, I went, rip. I just ripped this thing out. This is nothing. And I kept running and I kept pounding the footpath. This bee is, those bees are nothing. And I ran, I finished my run. I got home and I was fine. And I remembered like, why are people scared of bees? Bees are nothing. I don't know who you are, but anyway. But this thing here in what Paul says is not a beast. It's no ordinary sting. This sting is like the fangs of what? A funnel web spider, the most deadly venomous spider in Australia. And you know what they like to do, those funnel web spiders, they like to hide in your shoes, right? You want to make sure like you don't have no spiders in your shoes, because if that spider bites you, that's not a bee sting. That sting, that kills you. You don't want that sting. And if you get bitten by one of those things, then call 000 ASAP. You don't want that sting. But the funnel web can only claim your life if it gets its fangs into you and it, you know, pushes its venom into your body. And the same goes for death. It can only claim you if the stinger, which is what it say, what does it say here? The stinger is what? The stinger is sin. The stinger is sin. You know, and if sin is dealt with, the venom of death is dealt with, then it can't kill us. Yes, this side of heaven, death does sting. We do die, but we don't die forever. We will rise again. Why? Because sin has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. And he proves that by rising from the dead. He said before he died, he told his disciples, I will be killed by people on a cross. And 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. And that is how he saves us, by dealing with our sin. He takes the sting of death, which is sin, upon himself. And he deals with that sin. So that through his death and through his blood, our sins are washed away and we have a right relationship with God. And we will be raised into immortal, eternal life with God in his home forever. Thanks be to God for giving us this victory through Jesus Christ. That was what happened on Good Friday. The sting of death, your sin and my sin, came upon Jesus. Stung Jesus. He died, but he didn't stay dead. And he rose from the dead. His sinless, perfect life for our sinful life. The innocent for the guilty. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. So the resurrection means we have the victory. And finally, I want us to see that the resurrection gives us purpose. Have a look at verse 58. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because Christ is raised from the dead, because he is alive, we are a people of hope and we have the victory. Therefore, Paul says, do not depart from this hope. Do not depart from this truth in your life. Stand firm in it. Be confident in it, because you know the outcome. You know that it's going to work out well for you in the end. You have the victory. Stand firm. Let nothing move you in your life. No, whatever life throws at you. Now, there are many temptations that are going to come our way in this world. And there are going to be many lies that the world throws at us and says, well, this is where life is at. This is where happiness is at. This is where joy is at. This is where success is at. But Paul says, no. Stand firm in this truth that Christ is risen. And because we know we have the victory, because we know the future, then we also know that we have a life that is worth living. We have a life where we know and have absolute purpose. Because Christ is alive. Right now, he's alive, interceding for us in this very moment, pouring his spirit upon us, telling us to stand firm, do not depart. And maybe some of you are sitting here and you're wondering, I don't know about this Christian thing. Maybe that over there is better. But the risen Jesus says, no, nothing out there is better. This is the truth that you need to live for. Sin has been defeated and death has been crushed. Therefore, it is worth giving our life to living for Jesus, to making him known, to tell the world what God has done for them through the risen Jesus. When they come to believe in Jesus, they also will have the victory as well. So friends, if you call yourself a Christian, I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up following Jesus. Don't give up pursuing Jesus. Don't give up serving Jesus. Don't give up. Your labor is worth it. It is not in vain. A while ago, there was a short film. And the opening line of this short film says this: if you're not collecting experiences, you're not living. And the film begins with this man who's approximately about 30 years old, and he's fired from his job. His boss fires him, and yet he's smiling as he's packing up his things, and then he grabs his stuff and he high-fives his friend on the way out. And why is he smiling? It's because it seems that he's free now, and the rest of this short film, he sets off in this adventure. We all dream of these adventures, right? And what follows is like a montage of different little clips of all the adventures that he's experiencing. One experience after another, you know, picture of the sun setting in a beautiful location, a time lapse of this, you know, the stars in the sky over this cosmopolitan city. You know, he's tracking through Nepal and kayaking in this ocean. You know, he's riding dirt bikes across Asia somewhere. He's making this custom surfboard and he's riding this perfect glassy wave. You know, another moment he's got this, like, you know, surfboard that he's building, this custom surfboard, and he's riding this wave. Another moment he's like he's standing on top of a mountain and he's got this eagle in his sitting on his arm, and he sends it off into the desert. He's experiencing all these things, experience after experience, just 1-2 second clips, all these clips. He's having these amazing adventures, you know. He's swimming with sharks, and you know, he's fishing in the snow by this beautiful log cabin, all these amazing experiences, and then all these other interspersed throughout is this relationship with this girl. You know, he breaks up with this girl. Next moment you see this, he's married all of a sudden. Another moment, another experience, is building this home with this girl. All these experiences, one after the other. And at the end of this short film, there's a question that comes to the viewer. Are you an experience collector? Now, I don't know if that what I've described to you is familiar at all, but that was an ad. All that happened in like 1 minute. All these little, you know, minute moments of experiences. And it was an ad for a beer company, for a beer. Like, you know, and I thought, what has that got to do with beer? And I thought that didn't make sense, like for a beer ad, right? But what that ad did do was capture something that is very real, right? And that is this generation of this YOLO generation. You know what YOLO is? You only live once, right? So if you only live once, well, you know, make the most of it. Make the most of your experiences in life, because your life is the sum of all your experiences. So make it count. Live for every moment. Experience as much as you can. Your life is the sum of all that you experience. Is it? Jesus tells this parable about this man who, you know, thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to get rich. And he builds these barns and, you know, he loads up with the wheat year after year. He's getting richer and richer. He's building more barns and bigger barns. He's getting richer. And then in the end, he thought, you know what? I need to experience this. I need to experience all that I've worked hard for. And so then he decides, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to celebrate all my hard work, right? And that is how many people live in this world, right? That is what I used to live for. I used to think, how rich can I get so that I can experience and enjoy life the best way that I can? That's what I live for. But what happens in the parable? The man dies that night as he's trying to live it up, right? But the resurrection tells us that there is more to life than our experiences. That we don't only live once, but we will live forever. And we have been given a hope beyond this life. And we have a purpose to live for. We have a God to live for. And we can make a difference to other people's lives, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And so I want you to know that your life really matters. God cares about you. And God cares about how you live your life. He cares so much that he sent his son Jesus to buy your life, to redeem your life with his blood. You can make a difference in your life. As you follow Jesus, as you care and share and tell others about the risen Lord Jesus, you can make a difference to other people's lives. So let me encourage you, keep being faithful to Jesus. Stand firm. Don't let anything move you from following Jesus. And keep sharing with others what God has done for you in Jesus. Keep serving God's church, so that together we can make more disciples and we can help others become disciples of Jesus as well. Friends, our labor in God is not in vain, for we serve and we worship a great and awesome and a loving God, a God who has given us his one and only Son to take the sting of death upon himself. And he will help us after we die to also rise as he has risen. We will have eternal life. Friends, do not give up. Live with hope. Live victoriously and live with purpose. So friends, I want us to respond in a moment as we sing by really celebrating the resurrection. And when we read those words, "Oh death, where is your sting? You know, where is your victory?" That's like a celebration song, because we have the victory. We have won. We know the future. We have hope. So as we sing, let's celebrate and really thank God for what he has given us in our life, that we can live with true hope and purpose in our life. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to the band who's going to help us celebrate in song. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you gave us Jesus to die on a cross for our sins, to deal with our sin, to conquer it, and to conquer death. You rose from the dead, and now, God, your Son sits at your right hand, even now, interceding for every single one in this room. Thank you, Lord. We pray, and I pray, God, keep pouring your Spirit into all of us. Help us, Lord, to really think about what the risen Jesus means for each and every single one of us, Lord. Help us not to walk away from church today unchanged, but help us, God, to be a people full of hope, full of victory, and full of purpose, God. Give us your Spirit that we might live in your strength and for your glory and for the glory of your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.